Now, as you may know, not all is well between Jim Wales and his party, the DUP. The DUP gave us this statement. The party is aware of the comments from Jim Wales. This is an internal matter. The party will not be giving a running commentary. Jim Wales, MLA, is on the line, available to speak to us. Jim Wales, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
A lot of people think you're posturing for a position in the executive. If the executive ever gets up and running again, you'd like to be back as health minister.
No, Frank, what I'm doing is I'm asking the party to honour a promise they gave me 3 years ago. You were well aware of the whole cacophony of sound and criticism of me about alleged comments I made at the hustings event in Downpatrick. The courts proved that there was a word of truth in any of this. I had stepped aside to prevent further damage to the party. They gave me a written promise that I would come back straight after the Westminster election in 2015, and they reneged on that promise.
How much of a promise was the actual guarantee, or how much of a guarantee was the promise, I think is the better way to describe that. There's a number of ways of reading this email that you believe shows that the DUP had promised you would get back.
There is, Frank, but attached to the email I released to the newsletter is a whole series of other emails discussing that promise with the party officers, and no time in that two-year period did they ever say there was no promise. What they argued was that a promise given by Peter Robinson didn't necessarily carry forward to Arlene Foster, that it's only very recently they've suddenly decided there's no promise, when, of course, all the discussion in the intervening 2 years was about a promise which, of course, they confirmed existed.
Now, many people could view it as a suggestion that you would get back, and number one, if your wife returned to good health and you felt that, indeed, you were capable of returning yourself to this post or to another post, that Peter Robinson would have been happy to see you back in government. There's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes in there.
Well, first of all, Frank, I decided in July 2015 that I was in a position, my wife's condition had stabilised, and I was in a position to return. I wrote to the party twice asking them to honour that promise. They ignored me on both occasions. On the third occasion, I went before them and they said, "You're not getting it. We're not implementing it." They never suggested for one moment there wasn't a promise. They just said they didn't want me back. So I think it's pretty clear what the understanding was. Unfortunately, they reneged on that promise. And when Peter Robinson went on to the radio last week to say that there was no promise, I simply had to release that material, which proves beyond a doubt there was. And indeed, the party, even this morning, are not saying that the promise didn't exist. They're just saying they're making no comment.
Even if there was a promise, do they have to stand over it, considering you are Jim Wales and, I suppose, with Jim goes controversy?
Well, then you should have thought of that before they gave me the promise, Frank. Remember, I went to Peter Robinson on the 26th of April 2015 and said to him, "Peter, this is getting out of hand. There's a feeding frenzy here amongst the media." Not by yourself, I'm glad to say, but amongst the media generally. And there's an election in 11 days' time. The only way we can get the heat off this is for me to step down and for you to agree you'll bring me back when the situation's clarified. And that's exactly what was agreed. And I did step down, and there was a promise given, and then it didn't happen. So, if it was they didn't like Jim Wales, were the new Jim Wales before they gave him the promise?
Yes, we did speak to Peter Robinson, and he doesn't want to make any further comment in relation to what has already been said. You don't seem to be in a very good position to make hay if any sun shines within the DUP at the moment.
Well, Frank, I went through the most dreadful period of my life back in 2015, but I always hung on to the fact that someday I would be vindicated, I would be brought back as minister for a very short period. Remember what I'd said to them, get me back for 3 or 6 months, and then not only will I step aside as minister, I'll retire from politics completely to look after my family. I went through a dreadful period in which I got absolutely no support whatsoever from senior party officials, and I feel a great sense of that I have been wronged by the fact that they continue to deny a pledge given to me. Now, Frank, I'm one of those old-fashioned people. If I make a promise, even if it's wrong, I keep to it. I remember promising somebody I'd buy a house at a certain price, and the price went down. And I knew when I signed the contract that that price wasn't what I had worth, wasn't worth, the house wasn't worth what I paid for it. But I believe if I've given someone a promise, I adhere to it, and I did, even though I lost money on it. Similarly, Peter Robinson and the party knew what I was going through. They knew what they did, and they should not have gone on to the media last week to deny it ever happened.
How lonely within the DUP do you feel?
Not in the least, Frank. In fact, the direct opposite. I have been swamped with messages of support from every level, from the party, from MPs right down to ordinary branch members. I attended a DUP function last Saturday night in Ballymena, a quiz where I got a wonderful reception, and then I ended up winning the quiz, which was nice, and coming home with a trophy. No, the direct opposite. I have had huge support from every level of the party, apart from the party officers. I'm feeling very comfortable with my relationship with the party generally, and I'm going to go on and remain a DUP MLA for South Down for the foreseeable future.
And would you be positioning yourself for the possibility that Arlene Foster may not be the leader of the DUP 6 months from now?
Frank, you are a top radio presenter. I am a very lowly DUP backbencher. I know my limitations. I am not leadership material. I am nowhere near leadership material. I wouldn't want it, and I couldn't do it. No, all I want is
You may have slightly misunderstood the question. I understand why. I wasn't asking you if you were positioning yourself to be the leader. I was asking you if you were positioning yourself to return to a top post within the DUP if Arlene Foster is no longer the leader.
Frank, I am not lusting after position. I'm lusting after vindication. I'll give whatever money I get as minister to charity, to the Southern Area Hospice, if I was ever returned as a minister. This has nothing to do with me lusting after power or position. This is me wanting to retire someday from my political career with my head held high and my character vindicated. And as the thing stands at the moment, there's a big question mark over my character.
But if, for example, RHI doesn't go the way that Arlene Foster would like it to go, and pressure is put on her, and she's no longer the future, she's no longer the leader of the DUP, your future would look more rosy, wouldn't it?
Well, certainly the present team of party officers, I don't think, would entertain me at all. But what I would say, Frank, you need to understand, I still support the DUP in its policies. I support them on Brexit, I support them on the Irish language, and I support them on the RHI. This has nothing to do with party policy, or me falling out with the party generally. This is just about how I've been treated by 9 individuals. The rest of the party have been perfectly honourable and, in fact, very supportive of me. So I'm not interested in positioning myself for any future leadership contest or any of that nonsense. I just want my character cleared, because people out there, Frank, there are people asking, why did this man go from a health minister to the T-boy, and though his character has been totally exonerated by the courts, why was he never reinstated to anything in that 3-year period? Is there some skeleton in the cupboard? Is there something going on that we don't know about? Well, the answer is, Frank, there's nothing going on. There is no skeleton in the cupboard. But I have been, in my opinion, very badly treated by a very small section of the DUP.
But do you get a sense that you are the T-boy or lowly MLAs in the DUP? Is that how they're treated?
Well, so certainly, in terms of my status within the party, I went from holding one of the highest positions, the biggest spending department, to nothing, basically. And people are asking the obvious question, if the courts, and as you know, there was a major court case about this, and he was totally cleared, why was he never reinstated? Why was he never reinstated to anything, never named health minister? And there's that doubt, there's that cloud hanging over my character that I'm determined to erase.
Well, we've done a story this morning about a court case where people were exonerated, but they still lost their jobs from the sports field because of other things that went on, and was other things that were written and other things that were said, and the fallout from it and the reaction from sponsors. Mm-hmm. So same with Jim Wales. You were exonerated for you were accused of that went on in the court. But there's so much fallout in relation to Jim Wales that the DUP may think, well, you know, Jim, he's a fine MLA, but we'll keep him in Kilkeel.
Well, they should have thought about that, Frank, before they gave me the promise I was coming back. Secondly, there is no baggage with Jim Wales. There's no leaked emails. There's nothing that I would be ashamed of out there. And that's the problem. There's that air of suspicion about me. Have I done something wrong that the public don't know about? And the answer to that is no, I haven't. I think it's a very different situation. And secondly, those two individuals didn't have a cast-iron guarantee from their employer that once that court case was over, they were coming back. That certainly wasn't the case either. There is no baggage, Frank, and I'm determined to clear my name and be absolutely upright and truthful. And I can say to anybody, I defy anybody to find one word of untruth in anything that I've released to the media about this case.
Are you going to continue to make it difficult for the DUP over the next number of weeks? And if so, how will you go about that?
No, Frank, I have no joy in what I'm doing whatsoever. I don't want to be having this interview with you at all. I just want my name cleared. And once that happens, I will return to being a very loyal, supportive backbencher, or maybe some days, perhaps, executive member, doing my best to support the DUP, who are the only show in town as far as Northern Ireland is concerned. The DUP is the voice of unionism. The DUP are leading us on Brexit, against Irish language and so many other issues. So therefore, I want to go back in and work with the DUP, who are doing the right thing for the country, but are not doing the right thing for Jim Wells.
And finally, and very briefly, do you think there'll ever be another executive?
Now, that, Frank, is the most one question I can't give you a definitive answer to. I think it's looking unlikely at the moment. And, I mean, what I'm saying to the party is, you know, if they made a commitment to bring me back, they might never have had to deliver it anyhow, because there might never be an executive. But the point is, if that happened and that commitment was made, then I could retire someday from politics. After 43 years, Frank, I'm in the business longer than you are, and that's saying something. After 43 years, I could retire with my held high, and okay. I'm certainly not going to retire with this hanging over me.
Okay. Jim Wells, thank you very much for your time this morning.